We move to Isaiah now, to the great prophecy of Isaiah. Chapter 24, verses 1 to 13, is found on page 1093, Isaiah 24. And then later we'll move to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. The Isaiah passage we'll find on page 1093, and the Hebrews passage is for 1862. Isaiah 24. Now, what you need to know is, of course, is that we have, Advent has three layers. Advent means the coming or arrival. And it means, it's a word that's a sort of a very vague word, but it means it's a very large concept. So the Hebrew Testament, the Old Testament, is an Advent book. It announces the arrival or the coming of Jesus. And the book that does that about the best is the book of Isaiah. You could call that the Advent book, if you like, a real Christmas kind of book. Advent also refers to the fact that Christ came. He has arrived, the advent of the Christ. That's the second layer. And then there's a third layer of Advent, which is that he's coming again. Just like we did in communion, we remember that he was prophesied and that he came, and that he's with us and he's coming again. Isaiah captures all of that. That's why it's called probably the Old Testament Christmas gospel, if you will. I'll read a section of it with you. Verse 1 of chapter 24. See, the Lord is going to lay waste the earth and devastate it. He will ruin its face and scatter its inhabitants. Wait a minute. That's not a very happy. That's not very Christmassy, is it? It is not. It'll be the same for the priests as for the people, for the master as for his servant, for the mistress as for her servant, for the seller as for the buyer, for the borrower as for the lender, for the debtor as for the creditor. The earth will be completely laid waste and totally plundered. The Lord has spoken this word. Do you want to read on? This isn't very Christmassy, is it? The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish with the earth. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws, violated the statutes, and broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, a curse consumes the earth. Its people must bear their guilt. Therefore, the earth's inhabitants are burned up, and very few are left. The new wine dries up, and the vine withers. All the merrymakers groan. The joyful timbrels are silent. The noise of the revelers has stopped. The joyful harp is silent. They no longer drink wine with a song. The beer is bitter to its drinkers. The ruined city lies desolate. The entrance to every house is barred. In the streets they cry out for wine, and all joy turns to gloom. All joyful sounds are banished from the earth. The city is left in ruins. Its gate is battered to pieces. So will it be on the earth and among the nations, as when an olive tree is beaten, or as when gleanings are left after the grape harvest. Have you had enough? Whew. That's the Advent Isaiah promises from God's word. I call that a wrecking ball, an Advent wrecking ball, if you like. Or don't like. Move to the Hebrews passage now. Hebrews 1. A different inspiration comes to this writer. And this is what he says. You'll find this on page 1862. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. And so he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. So Advent fulfilled in Hebrews sounds a lot better. Did you catch a sense of those of Isaiah's difficult task to speak about the coming of God's judgment, of the advent of the Christ? You know, Advent, by the way, Isaiah is the Advent book, right? Chapter 9, Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty Father. That's from Isaiah chapter 9. Or how about chapter 40, Isaiah? Comfort, comfort ye my people. That's in Handel's Messiah. Kwame read that for us this morning. Comfort, comfort ye. What could be comforting about an Advent book like Isaiah when you read chapter 24? It's hard to figure that out. But you see, Isaiah does Advent perfectly, wonderfully, poetically well. More than most. It says that all the prophets had the hard task of bringing God's judgments to people. What was coming, they said, is the harsh judgment of God. But Isaiah does that with a poetry and a brilliance that surpasses nearly all of them. Chapters 24 to 27 is what we sometimes call the apocalyptic Isaiah. The Isaiah that has a sweep of history before him as he speaks the word of God to people. And that's why Isaiah is the book of the first Advent prophecy. The prophecy fulfilled in Christ, that Advent, and then the Advent of Christ coming again. That's all in Isaiah. And it's wondrous. So that's why we often call this the Advent prophecy. That the power of the words are fresh and strong. And you probably haven't read Isaiah 24 for a while, and you certainly don't read it at your Christmas dinner table, do you? You wouldn't read that, the destruction, the wrecking ball that is God over his world. So what happened? What happened in the heart, in the mind of God? What happened to go from deserved judgment and curse and horrors, as he promised in Isaiah and all the prophets, about the coming of the Lord, the advent of God? What happened? What is it? What changed his heart? What changed his mind? What changed his ways? What is it? And that's why we're in church this morning, because we don't know the core of that mystery entirely. The Gospel of John says, only the Father knows the Son, and only the Son knows the Father. But they let people in on that knowledge. And what is that knowledge? The Gospel of John says, it's this. God so loved the world that he gave his Son. So what changed God, what changed the Spirit of God, what changed God's heart and mind, and we use human words to describe God, it's all we have. But what changed God's mind, his heart, his disposition for the world, was his love for the world, the sending of his Son. So we are the recipients of something wonderful. We don't get the curse from Isaiah. And my, does our world ever need a little of this? Well, the world is maybe doing this to itself, chapter 24, the devastations. The earth dries up and withers. The world languishes and withers. Have you caught on the climate crisis and all the stuff that we're being fearful about? The horrors of a world in the 21st century that Isaiah couldn't possibly have pictured on his own. That world you and I live in, we know what the world does to itself, has brought on the natural conclusions of their own rebellion against God. That's the world we live in. We live in a world that doesn't want an advent from God. So Isaiah is quite prophetic and prophetically correct about describing what would happen to the world in its violation of God's laws. Yeah? The earth, it says, here, verse 5, the earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws and violated the statutes. If you read on in chapter 24, and you ought to really, that powerful poetry of Isaiah goes on, they, you know, the horror of and the terror of a world that gets judged by God, but the world that brings it on itself. Look at verse 19 if you want to. The earth is broken up. The earth is split asunder. The earth is violently shaken. The earth reels like a drunkard. It sways like a hut in the wind. So heavy upon it is the guilt of its rebellion that it falls never to rise again. That's the picture of a world without Advent, without God. But something happened in the mind and heart and the disposition of God towards us. In the final days, in these last days, God speaks to us through his Son. He spoke to us in the prophets, and they were harsh, and they've talked about an Advent that was coming and going to crush us completely. But now he has spoken to us by his Son. Notice the different words. Hebrews says, he used to speak to us through prophets. But now he has spoken to us by his Son. Different word. He's spoken to us by his Son. And this Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That's Jesus, the radiance of God. How precious and wondrous is this thought that we who are Christian are now dealing not with an angry God who wants justice in the worst kind of way, and I mean the worst kind, like a wrecking ball, but a God whose radiance shines through Jesus, a man, a human being like you and me. What mystery is that? What happened to God to love us so? What changed God's mind and heart? Jesus coming into the flesh. We celebrated that, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, blood of his blood. That's what God brought to us, to himself. Isaiah has one question to answer, and his question is always, what will God do about evil? What will God do about evil? That's an Advent question. What's going to happen to us? What is going to happen? What will God do about evil? And at first glance, in the advents of Isaiah, you think God's going to wreck the place. He's going to crush it and destroy it completely and just wipe it out. Until you encounter the radiance of Jesus, who carries full glory of God. And now Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. It's a whole new coming and a different understanding of the advent of God in the world. And then, of course, because Isaiah speaks about the last advent, the coming again of Christ, we who are worried about a world that's so self-destructive, that unfortunately fulfills prophecy and Isaiah on its own in being so self-destructive, we have this Jesus, you and me, that we are the ones who, in the latter days, as I said, in these latter days, have the Christ, that God speaks to us by his Son is his word. Isn't that how John puts that? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is Jesus. We tasted of him. What does this mean for your life to live in these three layers of Advent? The promise, the harsh promises like a wrecking ball, the fulfillment in Christ, babe in the manger, who turns into mighty God. How does it put it? Oh my. He is appointed Jesus, the heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. And he's the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he has provided purification for sins, he reigns over everything. What a comforting Advent message that is, so we don't have to worry about Isaiah's promise of destruction in the apocryphal ways that he does. Great poetry, but thank God we are spared the deepest burden of it. We are the sisters and brothers of this Jesus forever. That's what we do in Advent. We don't just have some routine celebrations. We honor the fact that we belong to the family of God. That Father of Jesus is our Father. That Jesus who carries the radiance of God's glory is us too. We have his radiance, his glory over us and in us. Didn't we just say that earlier in the service? That we are hidden with Christ in God. May your Advent celebrations, your seasonal time especially, focus on that. When all the stresses of life are yours, and they are, remember and believe, as we said, that Christ is the victor, and Christ is the one who brings us the Spirit of God, fulfilling all Advent hopes and promises. Will you do that this year again? Our world is so desperately in need of this good news. It needs so earnestly to hear the hope and to have people act on that hope. May our Lord give you an Advent glory, like always, but refresh it this year. Sing the songs, read the scriptures, celebrate with family and friends, tell your people at work, wherever you are, that this Advent is deep and rich, entails the whole world and its future. May God give you a blessed Advent, not a wrecking ball, but a glory that only he can give you in Christ. Let us pray. O Lord, send us away from this place today with the joys of Advent, the complexity, but also the joys of Advent in our hearts, how Jesus was promised, how he came, and how he has fulfilled all the things you intend with your prophets, and that how he is coming again. Oh God, help us to say that to ourselves, to think it, to process it as we live our lives, to be hopeful and thankful, and to ask you to give us your Holy Spirit to help us to believe it and to live it in all our ways. In Jesus' name, amen.